You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Playbook with Joe, Rob and Anika.
I'm missing fucking Emmerdale for this.
Tēnā koutou katoa, no mai haere mai. Welcome to 95BFM's The Playbook with Joe, Rob and Anika. How are we doing today, guys?
Yeah, good. Right, I'm getting straight into this because I'm buzzing. Last week, if you remember, I had a bit of a football hissy fit because Tottenham weren't doing very well. And they lost three games in a row. And it's funny how one week can make all the difference. Now, it's actually on record that I did say that Tottenham, we were playing Man City. And I actually said it on Plato's Retreat on Saturday. And my quote was, Man City are going to roll us up in a spliff and blaze us up big time. And they didn't. You look at certain games during the season, you think, you know what, we're not going to win this. And in all honesty, you look at Man City, possibly, arguably, one of the best teams in the world, club teams in the world, just unbeatable. And we beat them 3-2. And I'm just going to go through it a little bit because I went absolutely, there's mad scenes at the end of it, which I'll talk about anyway. And I was 100% wrong, I'll just point that out. What happened was, this game started, a slick passing going on. We was 1-0 up, I couldn't quite believe it. Harry Class A, Kane, it's just unbelievable pass to Son, who then gave it to our new player who scored a goal. It was brilliant. They equalised, which was a mistake from our goalkeeper, but he made up for it anyway. And then we scored another goal. Harry Kane got one, brilliant goal. And then just as the game was finishing up, Man City got a penalty, which shouldn't have been given. Another referee wouldn't have given it, but they got that. And I thought, oh, that's it. I was starting thinking, oh, well, I thought we was going to lose. We're going to get a point out of it. And then basically with the last play of the game, Harry Kane got a header. 3-2 and up. Total scenes. I actually ran out of my house into the garden and was going, yes, 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 like that. Which I imagine every Spurs supporter in the world was doing that. It was fantastic. But I just want to talk a little bit about statistics. I actually talked to Joe about this beforehand. Statistics normally show how a game should end up. Like Man City had 63% possession. They had 21 shots on goal to our 6. They had 11 corners and Spurs didn't have any. So shows statistics mean nothing. The outcome of that game is Man City have dropped points, obviously. And that's been really helpful for Liverpool, who are below them and they've got a game in hand. And if they win that game in hand, they're only 3 points below them. So Premiership race is on. So I'm really looking forward to that. Tottenham are 8th. I can't see us getting top 4 with all the best will in the world. Plus, we're actually away to Burnley Thursday, who are bottom of the league. And it wouldn't surprise me if we lose, because that's what the Premiership's like. Do you know what I mean? It's just like that. Right, quickly, New Zealand cricket is going off at the moment. The women's team have won their one-day international against India. They're 3-0 up. It's a 5-match series, so they can't lose. Their fourth game is on Thursday, which had probably already happened by the time you hear this, so you know what the score is before I do. It's weird how that works, isn't it? Time travel. Which is really good. The World Cup starts on the 4th next month. In Queenstown, I think, against West Indies. It's really sad that there's no supporters allowed on, no spectators, which is a bit of a shame, really. But I reckon they might do all right in it. This is good. As I said before, I think Australia will win it, but hopefully they won't. The men's team absolutely battered South Africa. It was ridiculous. They beat them by an innings and 276 runs. I can't believe how bad South Africa have been. They used to be so good fielding. It's just how bad they are, right? In one over, Tim Southey, who's not a batsman really, got dropped on the third ball, scored a 4 on the 4th, got dropped on the 5th ball, and then they eventually caught him on the 6th. So, yeah, good for you. The next game is on Friday in February, Christchurch, the Hagley Oval. Do you know what? I always thought it was called the Hadley Oval, after Richard Hadley, but it's not. It's called the Hagley Oval after someone called Hagley. That's it, really. So, yeah.
In the notes, find out who someone called Hagley is.
No, I mean, like, the game between Man City and Tottenham was really good. Like, I think Harry Kane and Son were two massive highlights in that.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, I actually forgot something. It's really quite significant. When they scored that goal between them, they have now equaled Didier Drogba and Frank Lampard of Chelsea's Premier League record for 36-goal combination. So they're going to surpass that. Very, very happy.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I can see you're happy for me. I'll tell you what, I was still buzzing the next day.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I was in Wellington during the match, and I remember there was a lot of promo for it on social media. And as soon as I saw that final score, I'm thinking, well, Rob's going to have a lot to talk about today. And that's why he's so reared up to get in here.
Yeah, if we'd lost, I wasn't going to do the show.
Well, I mean, I think it's even better because I feel like this was the last thing you expected either. Yeah, from chatting like the past week or so.
What the trouble with us is we are consistently inconsistent.
which is hard to plan for.
Yeah, plus I have no expectations, which is the best
thing.
Accounts
for some nice little surprises.
Best thing I ever did as far as sport goes, don't have any expectations. Actually, in fact, this is a life lesson. Have expectations about nothing, then you never get let down.
If you have low expectations, yeah. No one can ever...
No.
So if you have low expectations, they'll always be
exceeded. That's my rev up for the day, so see ya.
Anika, how have you been?
I've been all right. I've been good. So I had a couple of things I wanted to chat about today. Firstly is Britain's, the UK relay team from the Tokyo Olympics last year has just lost their silver medal.
What?
Yes, Rob. These are your people, the homeland, because...
Devastating.
The Court of Arbitration for Sport has upheld Chijindu Yuja's anti-doping rule violation on Friday. So this has kind of been in the works for a while, but like... The silver hadn't officially been taken away yet.
What was she caught with in the system?
So it was the males. The men's team. So he had been provisionally suspended since Osterin and S23 were detected in his A and B samples following the final. So Osterin is like, that is sort of like a hormone thing, fucks with your testosterone levels and stuff. S23 is a much more pointed, like, steroid-based vibe. But both are illegal substances in general. His whole argument is that, like, he's not contesting it, but his whole thing is that he doesn't know how it got into his system and that it must have just like slipped in with something else. But like the problem is that like they're not in legal substances anyway, which is like, oh fuck yeah.
Whoever deals with all that stuff, they need to get a bit of a slap really for allowing this to happen to them. You don't want to go through all that and then it gets taken away.
I mean, yeah, you can't.
So it was only him?
It was only him, but obviously...
Oh, I bet them up for ain't happy with
exactly,
him, aren't they?
Because it was a relay, so now the whole team has lost their thing. So that means... So they finished second behind Italy, and this now means that Canada, who got bronze, are now being upgraded to silver, and China, who came fourth... bronze.
Well, I'm not happy about it, but what a twat. Shouldn't have done it.
I know. He hasn't challenged the decision, claims he had
He's banged to rights, that's why he's not
challenged. Yeah, I mean, he's claiming that he hadn't knowingly or intentionally doped.
I used to try to use that as an excuse, don't work. I thought it was a Turkish cigarette. I have no idea. Wow, really? Woo.
No, I thought it was just tobacco. Someone handed it to me, I promise. he's saying he unknowingly consumed a contaminated supplement and this is the reason why, but like obviously very shit. Now the whole team is kind of fucked, and so I think now he's waiting to see what his long term suspension is going to look like.
This is happening way too often, man.
Yeah.
I swear.
It is.
It's crazy.
Well, then you always got to the point is just take whatever you want.
I was waiting for that to come up from
Rob. We were
Rob.
Talking about this earlier. Okay. picture this, right? Just an Olympic Games where everyone takes steroids. Could you imagine how many world records would be broken?
Yeah. And also, I think you should combine sports.
Yeah.
You have what was it? Synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
Where they're doing the high dive board thing. So then you dive off the board and land in the middle of them. Or the javelin with 100 metres. Discus.
Love. Imagine synchronized swimming, but like on LSD.
That's the only way I can watch it. Oh, you mean them doing it?
No,
oh,
they do the LSD. We watch it.
And they're just in the changing room.
Well, we all do LSD. Let's all do acid and... cut that out. We might finally get cut that bit out.
We might finally get underwater polo.
Oh yeah, make sure the horses have got like an aqua lung
thing. Oh my gosh, it is happening a lot, and I was waiting for Rob to pull through with the let's just let people take whatever the fuck they want
Predictable? Please say yes.
Well, in this one matter, yeah, no, but it gets to the point where you're just like, oh fuck it, because like. That's the thing. How do you measure the effect that it's having? Like, how do you measure the extent of what these drugs are doing? How do you kind of, I don't know. And I'm in two camps about it.
To me, THC shouldn't even be an issue because if anything, it's going to slow you down.
Like what we were talking about last week with Chikari Richardson.
Yeah. It is.
You smoke up. And then you combine that with an Olympic event. High jump.
Or jumping high.
Or jumping.
There you go.
There should be the high jump. Following the high jump, we have the jumping high. Self-explanatory. Fantastic. I would watch the shit out of that.
Great.
But yeah, I don't know. I think... You know, you're both right in saying that this is happening.
You can't stop
more and more.
I mean, look at
this. And then it's like the other thing. Where do you draw the lines? So our Russian...
Where do you put the lines, you mean?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
It's just too much.
Wow. I've never taken any illegal substances in my life. Oh!
You had it there first.
Not today, anyway. No, I haven't. Just kids, don't do it. Just, you know, go to school and do stuff.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Fucking hell. It's like, you look at some of them cyclists, the lengths they go to when they, like, swap people, they put other people's blood in them. And
yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is
and
all that about?
And pee and stuff. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think going back to the lines... The metaphorical lines.
Okay. I started going excited then. I was going to go and get a CD case.
Oh, gosh. I feel like we probably could all use it today.
We could put a warning
anyway,
for drug use in this podcast.
Going back to the metaphorical lines, it's where do you draw them? I mean, you had the Russian skater who was taking stuff for a heart condition. The side effects of that were like... allegedly helping out, she was fine. Then you have Shikari Richardson being disqualified.
That was outrageous.
That was really awful. I think we've recently had another sprinter who's been disqualified for dope as well, this time from the UK. I don't know. It's all a bit rough. But then at the same time, it's like, I would love to talk to one of these athletes about it. I would love to talk to this guy and be like, what difference do you think this is actually making? Like, is it making enough of a difference that it's going to...
But I suppose you're only talking like milliseconds can make all that difference.
And I know that it only takes seconds to make all that difference, but like... You're looking at these players who are at the top of their game anyway, and you're like, I just struggle to understand why exactly they need it. And so I think that's where my brain gets done in a little bit.
That's really quite, that's making me think about stuff. So that's really good. Well done.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. Guys, we've made Rob think today.
Oh, could I have been more patronising? I didn't mean it to sound that way.
No, you're fine. So yeah, that's that. And then I did want to talk about the US female football team.
Oh, yeah, that really yeah. quite unfortunate New Zealand girl that scored three own goals.
Oh, that's also in women's football. The U.S.
Different football, but okay. yes.
The U.S. Women's football team did get a massive payout.
Yeah. So they've got a landmark settlement.
Okay.
So they now get equal pay.
So they should as well. In actual fact, in the States, the women's football is so much bigger
yeah.
than the MLS, I think.
So they're
MSL,
now it is most definitely because they've won four World Cups since 1985 or something.
Yeah. And this has been a 6-year legal battle. So I think they've been promised around $35 million New Zealand dollars plus bonuses and everything, which is dope. But yeah, I don't know. I think when we get to the equal pay thing between the equal pay disparity between men's and women's sports. It just, keeps bringing you back to, okay, we're all watching sports because we love sports. That's what most people do. But behind everything that's going on is this huge capitalist money-making organization. And at the root of that, the entire ethos and the thinking behind the organizations as a whole is that men's sport makes more money because more people watch it. And I get that to a point, but, yeah. If we're not investing in women's sports in an equal manner, how on earth do you expect it to get up to the level where it is equally watched?
Of course it's not getting the eyes because it's not getting as much promotion, you know?
It's not being invested into. And that's at the core of the problem, I think. I feel about this
quite
a lot.
Well, I think we got to do everything we can to make that change. We've got to get that change going.
Yeah.
So I'll have a word.
Rob's going to talk to his people.
Rob's going to have a word.
But yeah, it's really rough because they have been playing at such a loss. And then especially in the States as well, because the women's team is so much better than the men's team and they're still playing at such a loss compared to the men. The men's soccer team in the States is pretty trash. They're still making what I think it was 20k or something on games that they were losing, the women would make zero on games where they lost and less than 20k on games where they won. Yeah, it's bad. And this is the individual.
Well, I think that's fantastic news, and hopefully that will kick off
news.
Other stuff.
I know, and I really feel for them for it being having been such a long kind of legal battle, but hopefully we can see that this is setting the precedent for more teams around the world to kind of be able to take this and go, look, this is the precedent that we're basing this off. This is why you should do this. And they fucking should. And I think the other thing that pisses me off is I understand from an organization point of view, you want to invest equally into not equally, sorry. You want to invest relatively into profit margins and stuff like that, but we are talking about organizations with so much fucking money.
Oh, it's outrageous.
It's not like they're out there not being able to afford equal pay. Yeah. That's not the issue at all. And so I suppose
as well, you've got to look at who's in charge of all this stuff. I mean, how many women are up the upper echelons of these sports that are making the decisions? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Probably old white racist blokes.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that essentially is what it is. But, oh, gosh.
It's great to see the payout and for them to get some recognition.
It is fantastic, and I'm super happy for it, and I think we just really can't forget that this is one team in one country in one sport.
It's probably so many other sports.
And this is an issue that, crosses everything everywhere.
Yeah.
And we need to kind of...
sort it.
We need to sort it. We need to sort it out. So, yeah. Yes. That's me.
That was... Thanks for sharing with that. I hadn't even heard about that.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Super. I mean, it's great news for them. I just feel definitely want to take it with a little pinch of salt.
So, over to me. I'll quickly brush over combat sports because we have a lot to talk about. Yeah, there was a lot of fighting on this or last weekend. whether like the UFC had some great fights on, Bellator had some great fights on, and so did boxing. But the big fight this weekend was Cal Brook versus Amir Khan, which is a fight 10 years in the making, because they fought, they should have fought around 10 years ago, these guys. They had an 18-year-long rivalry. They have had great careers. They fought the top of their class. Amir Khan's fought some of the best fighters in the world, as like from Canelo Alvarez to Terence Crawford, and so has Cal Brook. He's fought Errol Spence and Terence Crawford as well. This was a big fight in British boxing. Cal Brook came out on top. He looked way better than Amir Khan. He beat him by TKO, a technical knockout in the sixth round.
Does that mean he got counted? They didn't like bash him to the floor. Is that when they count him out?
That's when they just say, look, you've had enough.
Okay.
You know, so technical knockout.
Did anyone throw in the towel?
I think the referee stopped it. It was a stoppage, yeah. Cal Brook looked way better at this stage of his career.
Just interjecting there, there was lots of fights after the actual boxing match with Man City players.
Mm.
With some, I think they were Liverpool fans, were having a go at this Man City player, young lad, and his mum got involved and just pummeled his geezer that was coming to him, just knocked him down. It was brilliant. No, it wasn't brilliant, because that shouldn't happen in the first place, but fair play to her, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
this was such a huge deal in the UK as far as the boxing scene goes, the crowd was into it. It was electric. The fight was actually a catch weight, junior middleweight, so between like 66 and 69 kilograms. Cal Brook was coming off a loss, and so Amir Khan was actually coming off a win, but before that he had fought Terence Crawford, which ironically, he was actually in, for this fight against Cal Brook, he went to Terence Crawford's camp, the guy that beat him by TKO, for help. But they did a great job with preparing Amir Khan for this fight. But I think that Amir Khan has had a history of not having a strong chin, and being quite reckless with his hands. I think that, I mean, that sort of cost him. Cal Brook was just way stronger, way better. Technically, he was better as well. Funny how this fight coincides, though, with the Errol Spence and Terence Crawford fight, which is arguably the one fight that, if you're a boxing fan, that's the fight you want to see, because those guys are the two best in the world right now.
Weight are they?
They're in welterweight, so they're at 67 kgs.
So what's heavyweight? What's weight is that?
Heavyweights, you're going into the 200s.
Like fat bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. there's a lot going on in boxing right now. So if you are a fan, there are so many fights that are coming up. But one of the last thing I want to bring up is the undercard issues. I saw a post on Instagram, and someone was talking about how the undercard model that boxing has is terrible, because you're not promoting up-and-coming fighters that well. People will only watch the main event of a boxing pay-per-view card. They won't watch the rest of the fights, you know?
And so do you think, is that down to promotions, or...?
It comes down to promotion. It comes down to the guys they're fighting, right? They're building up a record for themselves. I get that.
Yep.
But a lot of these records don't really hold that much weight. You know, they're not fighting guys who are top of their class, you know? These guys are fighting dudes that are below them, levels below them, to build up their records, and then they're getting these big fights against better opponents.
Does that come down to who is, like, in the leagues at the time? Like, does that come down to an issue of not having enough, like...
It comes down to the...
I can't find a word that doesn't make me sound like a dickhead, but like...
It comes down to the promotion, I think.
Say whatever you want, because it's never bothered me sounding like a dickhead. So this is a dickhead-free zone.
It comes down to the promotion, right? The promotions are what makes the fights, you know? And these boxing... as a fan, these boxing promotions are doing my head in, because there are so many good fights that we could be witnessing, you know? But they're just not happening. Whereas on the UFC, on the other hand, the model they have, people pay attention to the undercard fights in the UFC because they're great. You know, they're well matched.
Is it about how the fights are being matched?
How they're being matched, and how these undercard fights aren't really being promoted. Like 5 or 6 years ago, you were seeing great undercard fights.
Yeah.
But now it's just not that great.
So if you're doing pay-per-view, Do you see, so you actually see these undercard fights then?
You do, but like people don't watch them. They just tune into the main event. And although the main events can be great, and as far as like, as far as the best, fighting the best, that's another, that's a thing we can go into another time, because that's a whole another issue in itself, which also involves promoters. I'd love to see a bit more shine on these undercard fights. Like, there are some great fights that go on undercards, and if you want to see beautiful boxing and you want to see just a great technical bounce, or I don't know, brawls or anything like that, I would say go watch the undercards or watch the entire card. You know, boxing is a beautiful sport. It's a brutal sport, but it's a beautiful sport because of the technicalities involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my rant over.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair.
Now,
listen to the fans. They know who they want to see fight.
Definitely.
Just going back to that, to me, that's like the people in charge of the television, in charge of actually showing it. It's down to them, isn't it? Just to rev it all up a little bit and have it as a complete package. If people don't want to watch it, it's because they're not aware.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a really good point, having it as a complete package. Like, you know, the main card is the main card, and that's awesome, but, like, you're watching
because these this people, whole event, a lot of these boxes, it's their one moment where they can shine because people are watching them, and if no one's watching them, it's like, why the fuck should I bother?
Exactly.
Well, I just love to see some shine on these younger boxes. There's some great up-and-coming talents that don't get the shine they deserve. Even, like, some main event talents that don't get the shine they deserve. You know, you guys probably haven't heard of Errol Spence or Terence Crawford before. Those guys are amazing boxers, like, on an extremely high technical level.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, amazing to watch. Yeah, they just don't get enough coverage in the mainstream. So, I don't know. At least in boxing mainstream, they get enough coverage, but like overall mainstream, sporting mainstream, not that much.
Yeah. But yeah,
it's crazy. But you know what else is crazy?
What?
Team names.
Oh, right. Now, right. Okay. Now, before we
Segue of dreams.
Before we get into this, this is something ever since I've been here, it's something that's always amazed me is that you got named, like, you got your rugby team, you call them the All Twats, the All Blacks, and then you got the All Whites, the Black Caps, the Silver Ferns in Australia, you've got the Matildas and all that for cricket, women's cricket team, and that, it makes no sense to me. Well, I don't understand it. Do you know what I mean? Like in England, you've got the England football team and you've got the cricket team. It's real easy.
Yeah.
I don't know why it happened or why it's happened. Is it a marketing thing? I don't know.
Is it
just me that when I talk about them?
We're
you
both looking at Joe to answer this question right now, and Joe's like,
"No, nah, I will say the New Zealand cricket team. I won't say the Black Caps because it just don't sound right to me."
Yeah,
but that's me, isn't it?
Then you've got the All Whites.
I think it's a common trend.
Like, whoa, really?
Well,
feel like when you say, like, here we're so conditioned to being, like, weird, and then you, like, go to other countries and you're like, "Oh yeah, the All Blacks," and like the All Whites, and people are like, the what now?
Yeah, the what nows. Actually, it'd probably be better calling them the what nows.
The what nows.
Look, that is, but those team names aren't actually the strangest on, as far as the most, like the weirdest team names go. I went on a website earlier today and I read it through some weird team names. So I'm going to get you guys opinions on some weird team names right now. We'll start off with the Hartford Yard Goats. They're a minor league baseball team. They were established in...
Say that again?
Hartford Yard Goats. Established in 1983. They're from Hartford, Connecticut.
So are yard goats? What's a yard goat?
It's a goat you keep in your yard.
Right, so it's as simple as that.
Yeah, simple.
Pretty self-explanatory.
American, you know what I mean? It's not going to be complicated, is it?
Yeah, that's actually such a good point. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. I don't know.
Right. So they kind of pulled that one out from somewhere?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I know what some of these are. They're just unbelievable.
Okay.
We'll move on to the Indiana State Sycamores. That's a college basketball team.
Is the college Sycamore, Sycamore College?
At Indiana State.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it's named after a sycamore tree. It's a native tree in Indiana. Yeah. Larry Bird actually represented, played for the Sycamores.
What?
Yeah, crazy. The legend himself.
That's crazy.
We've got the Montgomery biscuits as well.
Ross, yummy.
That was hilarious. Yeah, not the kind of biscuit you're thinking of.
Oh, like
biscuits
scones.
And gravy. Yeah. Like, Rob thinks that's gross.
Yeah. It's like, I was talking to an American person.
No, have you seen a picture of it?
Yeah, but they're like biscuits. A biscuit to me is chocolate, like, obnob or something.
No,
you know what I mean?
I agree. So, first of all, biscuits are scones. So, it's scones and gravy. But gravy isn't gravy like our gravy. It's not. It's like white.
What?
No, when they say biscuits and gravy,
no,
when they see pictures of it, it's like a scone with like this white shit on
Rob
top.
Rob is mortified right now. You know what?
I love gravy. Just gravy and roast potatoes. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's not that gravy though. It's not the good gravy.
Why the fuck would you call it gravy?
Well,
what is wrong with?
Know.
I'm not having a pop at you. It's what is wrong with Americans? Well, lots actually, but.
That will be a whole nother 3 hours somewhere down the line. What is wrong with it? That's a whole nother podcast, isn't it?
Made 28 parts. It's
a well-made base bacon or sausage fat-based white country gravy. So it's like sausage fat.
The look on Rob's face right now, if only you guys could see it.
I'd call that cack. Marketing has always been my thing. Right, come on, let's get in some real classic ones here. Let's have it.
Webster University Gorlocks. If you're asking what a Gorlock is, I can't actually tell you. It's a made up creature. They represent. It's a college team, first of all. They are from Webster Groves, Missouri, and
yeah, of course they are.
Yeah, it's just. It's a creature with the paws of a cheetah, horns of a buffalo, and the face of a Saint Bernard.
So, I mean, if you're making up, sake. If you're making up a creature as well, that's what you come up with.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he's so ugly.
We've got the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Hoorah.
The Rumble Ponies.
Hoorah, yeah.
Hoorah. What?
You're turning America. I'm gonna have to sort you out in a minute.
Now, I don't know why I said that.
I think I do.
Go Rumble Ponies.
It's like some kid's toy for Christmas. Oh, I want a Rumble Pony.
They look like that as well. Look, there's the mascot.
Do they look like a little My Little Pony number?
Yeah, legit.
Like with a mohawk and look really aggro.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
Yeah, they're from Binghamton, New York. They're a minor league
looks
baseball
like it's
team.
It's from a cartoon from the 80s.
How old? Yeah, I think they are. Yeah, we've got the Clinton Lumber Kings.
The Lumber Kings, the Kings of Lumber.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Ugh.
Minor league baseball team as well from Clinton,
Iowa. These minor league baseball teams are drawing from the bottom of the barrel.
Names, isn't it?
Oh, this one's cool. The Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
Yeah, that's one of my favourites. There's an actual fact, a real thing called a banana slug.
Yeah. Wait, aren't they kind of gangster? Or are they not? Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
They're a college team. They were established in 1974. Yeah, they really strike the fear into the hearts of their opposition, don't they?
Mind you, I'm just going to change the subject here a little bit, and I'm not having a pop at New Zealand, but your national, your thing is a Kiwi, which, I mean, what is Kiwi that just wanders around at night bumping into things?
Yes.
You should change it to wetter. They are the scariest things I've ever seen in my life.
I was about to say, yeah, it's a Kiwi because we are not really working with much else here. But
but Kiwis are great. You don't like Kiwis, Rob?
Yeah, but they don't do anything, do they? You can't see them because they only come out at night. Do you know what I mean? I'm not having a go because I love this place and all that. But
what?
Just
okay.
Might have to edit that bit out because I have to run all the way to Britain.
Fine.
You're going to leave it in on purpose, aren't you?
Now, where does the pretty skunks? Like massive ones. But they're scary.
With a what?
Widders.
Yeah, first time I saw one of them, I was in an outside shower and I saw it and I threw my towel on it and my towel moved. It was just like, just looked at me saying, is that all you got, mate?
It's got a bit more going on.
Right, let's go to real funny ones now, my favourites.
All right, Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Yeah, Jumbo Shrimp is just, I love those two words together.
Yep. Jacksonville, Florida, right?
Jacksonville, Florida. Yeah, it's another minor league baseball team.
It do be the minor league baseball team.
Yeah, Rob thought this one was funny because it kind of contradicted itself.
Jumbo shrimp. You know what I mean? Yeah. Military intelligence. Words that don't go together. Right.
Another fun fact, the biggest animal in the world is a shrimp called Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
The biggest animal in the world.
Yeah, is a shrimp called Roger.
Yeah. That's true. I can verify that.
Yeah, I'm looking
right, is there another couple?
There's a few more. We have the Scottsdale Community College fighting artichokes.
Yes, the one that's my favourite. I mean, have you ever eaten an artichoke?
Nah, never in my entire life.
What are they like?
They're pretty good.
Big Brussels sprouts.
Nah. You see, because they look kind of janky, but you have to like just get the hearts, and they're quite meaty.
What?
And so you get
the middle. Sorry, what about the lungs?
No, like the middle of it.
Okay.
Because the outsides are all like leafy, and so you kind of just like eat the meat off. But the middle, they come in jars, and they're like preserved.
Do you cook them or do you have them like
you can put,
cold?
I mean, you can have them cold. I mean, so you can use them in the same sort of way as you'd use maybe like a sun-dried tomato or something.
Sports
or like
cooking.
An olive.
Sports cooking.
Artichoke. Oh my god, whenever this is more prevalent to last week, but like whenever the Super Bowl runs around, I get super obsessed with like all these pages being like Super Bowl like snacks that you have to cook, and it's just like giant cheese dips in the shape of like footballs. Love. Okay. Would love.
I'd actually like to look into that. Different sports, what food they have with them.
Yeah, I think it's way more of a cultural thing.
MMA,
in the States.
They just have a live animal hanging up. And you just go and bite off of it. Just bite lumps of it off and stuff like that.
It's a huge thing in the States, though. They're like game day snacks. Right.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
I love snacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why you'd name your team after an aggressive legume, but, yeah, they're from Scottsdale, Arizona, another college team.
Artichokes are kind of dope, though.
Okay, yeah.
I fuck with an artichoke.
Wichita Wingnuts, that's another one.
Wingnuts?
I hadn't heard of that one before, Wingnut. I used to have a mate, it was his nickname, Wingnut.
there's a lot. There's a few more. Albuquerque Isotopes. Now, if you're a Simpsons fan, this was a team within the Simpsons cinematic. I want to call it
the Simpsons cinematic universe.
Yeah. Guess what? Another minor league baseball team.
They must have just run out of things to call teams because there must be so many of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's like there's so many teams.
All Americans. There you go.
I mean, we've got the Seattle Mist, which is a lingerie football team.
Oh God, no, okay. Yuck.
Lingerie football has gotten a lot of flack.
I wonder why.
Last few
they
years,
play football and they just wear like lingerie. It's
yeah, I figure, but how is that credible?
I don't know why.
I feel like that's really funny because you look at how padded up these American.
Yeah. Isn't it all like paid Americans are really for like greasy geezers, isn't it?
Oh, it's football. Super greasy, but like it's just a sexualized woman, and like you add football, it's like yeah. That's just the sport. No one goes
just
to watch.
Just a very base.
Do you enjoy watching it, Joe?
No. Okay. I've never watched it in my life. But I feel weird.
You just feel like a fucking pervert.
Just research purposes. Well, that's what I said when they took my computer away. Anyway. Well, that's enough of that. Fucking hell.
You cannot take that out. Rob, you're very quick today.
Yeah, it's a curse, I'm telling you. It gets me in so much trouble, do you know what I mean?
No, we love it.
Okay, another minor league baseball team. New Orleans Baby Cakes.
cakes made out of babies.
Yeah, that's it. Spot on.
Oh, my God, I hate that.
Served at MMA meetings.
Yeah.
That's so infantilizing. Imagine going up against, the warrior artichokes or whatever versus the baby cakes.
Yeah, big chaos. Big smorgasbord in more ways than one.
What the fuck is the mascot?
Guess. I don't think they have one. I'm not sure. Mascots seem to be pretty random.
I love it, like, when they
just
fight.
Just a little cupcake on
sometimes this. When they, like, they fight each other, the mascots is brilliant. Or they'll go up to another team and start abusing the manager or just punch him. It's brilliant. No, it's not. We don't like violence here.
And yeah,
you tell him, Rob.
Those are some funny team names. Yeah, if you have any more suggestions, you can send them to us.
And we'll talk about maybe next week. What we have to do is we have to figure out where this whole team name culture thing is coming from.
God knows. I just think,
you there. Doesn't exist. I thought I'd just get that out there.
Oh, legit.
No, but as you said, places like the UK and stuff, UK football team, UK rugby team.
Sometimes the football team's called the Three Lions, but they're just England football team.
Yeah.
Just, so, I don't know. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's saying I just can't cope with.
Because here, even like our league team names here, like they're a bit random, but at least they're like normal.
Yeah,
with and the like, Warriors and stuff.
Yeah, like the Warriors, the Crusaders, the Hurricanes. That's fun. I like that team name. Yeah, the Blues, that's a bit mid.
There used to be a basketball team called the Hawke's Bay Hawks, which I thought was pretty lazy marketing, really. Oh, just 5 minutes before the meeting, what are we going to call it? I don't know. Fucking
Hawke's Bay Hawks. Hawks. There we go.
The Mitre 10 rugby, is it still called Mitre? It is, right?
Don't know.
The what is it? Like the Southland Stags and stuff. That's a cool
See,
name.
See, not bad. Like cool it's name. It's still that kind of like a it. Random
I,
name.
I get it with your domestic teams and all that, but when it comes to national teams, I can't understand it.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like we're so like used to it by now as well, like with the All Blacks and the All Whites and stuff like that. But then it's when people from other countries are like, wait a minute.
This is weird. Yeah. Another thing which baffles me, which baffled me this weekend, was the NBA All-Star weekend. Weird how the All-Star game was better than the dunk. The dunks in the All-Star game was better than the dunk contest itself. The dunk contest itself was getting shit on like no other. But I think that when you have a dunk contest like the one we saw in 2016, which was incredible, it's kind of hard to top that, you know?
I'm a bit of an ignoramus when it comes to basketball. The dunk competition, does it mean when they just run up, jump out in the air and like smash it in? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. But there's obviously...
Sorry to get so technical about it.
There's always ways to you know, it's creative ways to dunk. And there are some extremely incredible displays of athleticism when it comes to dunking. But yeah, the All-Star game had a lot of cool dunks, especially from Ja Morant, which I think you...
Whoever Steve Adams plays for on our show Saturday, we support that team. Mm.
Memphis Grizzlies.
And Matt's Memphis Grizzlies. I forget who it was last year. But I sort of get into it, but I can only watch the highlights of basketball. I find it with all the stop, start, it just does my head in. But highlight package is really good. And they seem to be doing really well. They're going to get through to the next bit, aren't they? I think they're third or something, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I just have to check the table real quick.
Here we go. Look.
Yeah.
Research.
Shout out to Steph Curry, who completely demolished the record for most three-pointers in one game.
He was on fire.
It was like 16 or something, right?
Yeah, you can see why LeBron chooses them. He's so impressive as well.
Oh, and actually, quickly, before I forget it, New Zealand got another gold in the Winter Olympics, didn't
they? Yes, of course. How could we forget that?
Completely forgot
that.
We completely forgot about that.
It was really funny. I was doing the show Saturday, and I said, New Zealand have won three hourly medals so far. And we got a text saying, no, we just won another gold.
I actually feel really bad that we forgot to bring that up at the start.
And they both come, him and that Zoe, both come from the same town, little town, which is quite fantastic, really.
Super impressive. Super impressive. Nico Porteous. I think we should move on to our Dick of the Weeks, because this is a good one. We've been talking about this since 6 o'clock this morning. Rob and Anika have the same Dick of the Week, I do believe. Who is it?
Well, it's Finnish cross-country skier Rene Lindholm froze his penis when he was doing some circuit.
And so just to clarify, our Dick of the Week isn't Remy Lindholm, it is Remy Lindholm's
frozen dick.
Penis.
Yeah, it's frozen penis. The thing is, why personally I think he's a Dick of the Week, because it wasn't the first time it's happened to him. It's happened to him before, and as a geezer myself personally, if that happened to me once, I would never ever do it again.
Or you would think up some kind of contingency around
that. Yeah, and it's because of what they wear, that like the skin tight, hardly anything.
Pop yourself after Kathmandu, get some nice woolen undies. They've got that merino shirt.
What made it when I was reading it, he said it was okay until the blood started coming back, and then it really, really hurt. And I was sitting there going, oh my God.
Because it was like the way he was describing it, it was like it froze, and he's kind of like, oh, whatever, because it's frozen.
But the thing is,
it.
I was actually
And then he's sitting there afterwards with a heat pack on his dick trying to like.
But the thing is, right, he come 27th or 28th in a competition, and no one would have remembered him, but now he will always be remembered for Mr. Frozen Penis.
Hey, if you're going to go down...
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what do they say? Fuck.
They were really... the other competitors were quite peeved off that the race
didn't
got like...
Freeze.
No. Jeez, I mean, that the race got like.
Because the race got
limited.
Shortened
got
because
shortened,
they were worried about conditions. So it went down from 50K to like 30K. So it got shortened by 20K because the conditions were so cold and they were worried about frostbite. So they did, like, they were prepared for the fact that it was going to be a fucking cold race.
Can I just. What amazes me is it's the Winter Olympics. Had they not realised it was going to be cold? Or didn't they think it was going to be that cold? Is it? It was that cold.
It wasn't. Well, okay, here's the thing. Okay, you know what? I'm probably the least qualified in the room to talk about frozen dicks.
Yeah.
But I would have
I think you're the best one to say you pack a... That is a good new put down now.
I just would have personally thought that maybe like your toes or something would have gone before your dick gumps. I don't know.
Right, I'm gonna put my mask on and sit with my head facing the other the wall there before.
That's
I
That's just how I would logically think of it.
Was it like less fabric down there? Because like obviously that's like
you'd
that's
have boots
why
on, wouldn't you? You'd have boots on.
Yeah. Okay, you would have boots on, and they had like these like plasticky things to put on their face and stuff for more protection. But oh god,
obviously,
they
could see the some areas, didn't they?
But like no, I think the main takeaway from this, as Rob mentioned before, is that a similar thing happened to poor old Remy last year in Finland. And so after it happens once, aren't you going to be a little bit more like?
Yeah. Or thinking, you know what? I'm pretty shit at this because I come to it. I'm not doing this no more. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
Or if you say if you're going to do it, well, I don't know.
Oh, that would be you if you were an old mate.
Yeah.
Well, I just, you'd be a bit more conscious. Because what if you came 27th in the world, your dick got so frostbitten and you had to
fell off.
Chop it off?
Yeah.
What a story.
Yeah. But he will always be remembered now, so.
Wait,
does it? I don't know. It might not work anymore.
So I think he took about like an hour and 15, I think, to finish the race. So that's sort of the time period we're dealing with.
So that's a double dick of the week.
That is quite a literal dick of the week.
I do have another dick of the week.
Oh, we've got another dick of the week.
We do.
Oh, this one,
This one was interesting because Bryce Mitchell went on Ariel Helwani's MMA show recently. He was making quite a bit of buzz on social media because of the comments he made based on vaccinations and gun laws in the United States. Now, Bryce Mitchell, otherwise known as Thug Nasty, is from Arkansas. Obviously quite a redneck fellow.
A typical Trump supporter by the sounds of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And he went on Ariel Helwani's show and decided to spout off about a bunch of political stuff going on in Canada with the vaccination, the anti-vax convoys, and also about gun laws in the United States. Now, Bryce basically made a comment saying that the government set up mass shootings in the United States so that they had an excuse to take away AR-15s. That was his claim. Now, the MMA show itself did put a disclaimer in saying that they do not condone or claim his comments to be truthful, and they did cite it as misinformation. But this sort of made a bit of buzz on social media because it was people were saying these athletes should be held more accountable for the misinformation that they spread. But yeah, I wanted to get your guys' comments on where this line should be drawn, because obviously this is a big issue. If you're an athlete, you're in a position of influence on others, and yeah, you get the gist of it. So what do you guys think?
Well, I actually heard some of that interview, and the bloke he was talking to was a Canadian, and I agreed with almost probably 95% of what he said. But that other bloke was a lunatic, shouldn't be allowed on social media at all. I believe in freedom of speech, but he was just spouting rubbish and quite hateful stuff as well.
Yeah, and it's about, I think, you know, freedom of speech is one thing, but I think another thing is recognizing when you have a platform, recognizing when you have like pretty, like easily influenced
people. Yeah.
Like when you have fans, they're going to be more inclined to what you're saying. And so it's just, have that conscience of like how you're using your platform, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% behind you on that. I think everybody in the media, and I class us as well, we have a responsibility.
Yeah.
That's why we really don't, I mean, when we do our other shows, none of us are really political, because I don't think it's our job to tell people what to do.
No, it's about informing. And I know,
informing.
Brings me to like the other thing where I'm like, you know, fuck like the heavy monitoring of what people say and do, but shit like this happens and I'm just like, get a better PR team, bro. Yeah. Like, get a freaking publicist who's like, this is not on. But then that's like, well, they shouldn't be like babysitters. But yeah, I feel like with some people, they kind of have to be. Like, some of these people genuinely do need babysitters.
To me, the best thing to do with people like that is to ignore them, because they want a reaction. If you don't give them one...
True. But then I think the important thing is, like, you know, for people like you, like for people like us who can kind of look at it more impartially, we can be like, yeah, fuck that. That's stupid. Not going to engage. Not going to do this. I think the problem is that he has a following of people who will listen. And so, like, he's exposing people to stuff that they might not come across themselves. If people aren't like super into it or anything, they're probably not out there doing their own research. If they're just a casual fan of his and they're seeing this might be one of the first kinds of things that they get. And so they don't have anything to go off to be like, oh, maybe I need to question this. They're like, I fucking love this guy. This is what he thinks. What a fucking good point. I don't know. It's difficult, because I think it does bring us back to sort of the thing we come back to every week: sports and politics. Should it mix? Should they mix?
It's so intertwined.
It's so intertwined.
Politics is, whether you are into it or not, it affects every part of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. God, yeah.
You know.
And shit like this is always, I mean, it is quite difficult, because you don't want to police the opinions of these people, because
plus as well if you get rid of him, all of a sudden you're going to make a martyr out of the geezer.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. But then I think you need to look at more systemic problems, like, you know, people aren't going to get rid of this guy, but they had no problem getting rid of Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee, you know what I mean? Like, and that just comes down to very core systemic issues and what organizations believe are a problem and not a problem. And so, like, if anything, that's where I think, instead of sort of, we can sit around and talk about like who should say what and what you should talk about, rah, rah, but I think it's how these organizations that have the funding and the backing to do something about it, what they're treating as problematic and not problematic.
Absolutely. Yeah. Next week.
Sorry, I was just seeing a mushroom cloud coming out of my head, because that was, wow. I'm going to be thinking about that all the way home now. Brilliant.
I was going to say, next week, it would be, I've talked to Rob about this, it would be cool to go over athletes from the past who have dealt with extreme adversities of
things like racism and discrimination and how they overcame that.
I'd be really keen to
hear
next week.
And unfortunately, have been forgotten.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, haven't
because really history gets rewritten.
That'd be fantastic.
History gets rewritten all the time. You know what I mean?
Oh God! And famous quote: "History is written by the winners," isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
So, no, honestly, even bringing that up, there are so many things that are springing to mind. So I think that would be fantastic for next week.
Final thing, though, fixtures. Anything that you guys think should be watched in the coming week?
Actually, tomorrow is Tottenham-Burnley or Burnley-Tottenham because we're away at Burnley. There's lots of stuff coming up, but I didn't even look at that yet because I'm still buzzing about Man City. And I just like very quickly, you know that fight you were talking about? The one in England, in Manchester. Noel Gallagher is real good friends with one of the fighters and he came out with his belt or whatever. And because he's a Man City supporter, everybody was giving him so much shit about them losing. He wasn't happy. So that made my day.
It was such a big deal. That win was such a big deal. It was cool because it was a home crowd, that game.
Yeah.
And then when Harry Kane scored that goal via that header...
Yeah.
There was like one portion of the stadium that was going nuts. And it was so cool. Yeah. It was so cool.
I didn't see that. I had to re-watch it because when that happened, I was out in my garden jumping up and down going berserk. Sparrows are looking at me going, oh, here he is again. There you go.
The one to watch this weekend, if you're a UFC fan, though, is Bobby Green versus Islam Makhachev. Islam Makhachev is obviously Khabib's good friend and his teammate as well. Bobby Green is replacing Beneil Dariush, who had to withdraw due to injury. Bobby Green just fought 2 weeks ago, and now he's fighting again this weekend.
That's not much time for preparation, is it? Or is that helpful or hinderingness, whatever the word is?
It's definitely not enough time to prepare. Some people would say this is a mismatch and that Islam's probably going to steamroll him. While that's probably, if you're a betting person, then that's probably the most realistic outcome. Islam will most likely... dominate him. That's what everyone's predicting to happen. I think he's a minus 900 favorite at the moment, which is quite some big odds. But I'm rooting for Bobby Green because Bobby Green is a really entertaining fighter.
Would you do magic tricks?
No, okay. I mean his
shadow puppets.
His defense is quite magical though. Okay. He likes to shoulder roll and fight with his hands down and just pop shot you and then talk smack in front of your face. So
he's a showman then.
He's a showman, yeah, but he's just such an entertaining fighter, a really cool striker to watch. And yeah, it'll be an interesting fight. And there's a whole bunch of fights on that undercard. It definitely gets swept under the rug a little bit because it's not a huge card. The next big UFC pay-per-view is going to be in like 3 weeks. And that fight is massive. So I'll talk about that when that comes around.
Brilliant.
Anika.
Fantastic. Well, my fixture is for Friday week, so probably a little bit more relevant next week, but I'll bring it up now so we can keep an eye on things. But we've got the Paralympics coming up.
Oh, brilliant.
So the Winter Paralympics. We've got 3 athletes competing in that. Adam Hall and Corey Peters, who competed in the last Paralympics, and Aaron Ewan, who this will be his first Paralympics. He couldn't compete in the last one because of an injury, so... super cool for him to be heading into this one. Definitely, you know, we are a bit hopeful. Adam Hall won a gold last year.
Corey Peters. What was he doing?
They're all alpine skiers.
Okay.
So, yeah, Adam Hall won a gold in the last Paralympics. Corey Peters won a silver.
Brilliant.
So definitely kind of medal contenders there. The 3 athletes are competing across like 5 events, so... we've got a couple of chances, so yeah, I guess.
And as per normal, the last Olympics was everywhere. It was on Prime. And
yeah.
Obviously, the Paralympics won't be, because that's what normally happens, which is disgusting, really.
And that I feel like we should definitely talk about that a bit more next week, because because it starts next Friday.
I could be completely wrong, but I'll check out, see what the coverage is.
No, next week I'd be keen to go over like where you can watch it and stuff like that, just because it is... harder to find. That again brings us back to the disparity things that we were talking about in the start of the thing, where there's this perception that, and it's a real perception, that, you know, Paralympics don't get as much viewership and as much like watching time as like the normal Olympics. But hey, doesn't that all come down to the investment in it? Doesn't that all come down to the marketing of like the games of the athletes? And you know, we've got some, like, three fantastic athletes in here who are all medal contenders, something that is super impressive and very exciting for us, especially, like, these are the Winter Olympics. The Winter Olympics aren't New Zealand's thing, and so, like, when we have medal contenders, that is, like, super awesome
yeah,
and exciting.
Yeah, should be able to watch it. We'll see if we can get some campaign
but,
going.
Yeah, we will talk about that a bit more next week, but just wanted to let you know to keep an eye an eye on that. Yeah.
That's us.
That's us.
That's us.
Thanks for listening. Go Rumble Ponies. Hurrah.
Yeah, and the artichokes.
The baby cakes.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.